Now that portion that you're going to put on that little piece of paper, you might look at that and say, how in the world can that ever, that small amount of money, that little bit, ever help get a missionary out on the field and sustain them out there and doing God's work? So I want to help you with that in lesson number 3. I call this lesson Helping Hands of Missions. Now, they told me there's 77 people here tonight. That's, 154 pairs of hands. 154 hands, see. I want to tell you what you can do with your hands that will make each one of you and your faith promise very important. I doubt that there's anybody here who's rich enough to completely and totally support a missionary without him having to get any other support. If there is one here, I'd like to meet him right after the service. I'm going to ask you to turn your Bibles to Mark, the 2nd chapter. Mark chapter 2. We're going to look into an event that took place while Jesus was here upon the earth. Jesus came for the same reason he asks missionaries to go, to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, Jesus could seek them and save them. We can seek them and show them how to be saved. And so here's an incident that took place that I think we can learn something from. We begin in verse 1 of Mark chapter 2. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. So Jesus has come to Capernaum, and he is going to be preaching in a house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they came, and there came unto him one bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. Four men were carrying one man to the meeting where Jesus was preaching. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And Jesus saw their faith. See, faith is a very important thing here. And he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now, consider tonight there are some things that two hands by themselves cannot do. Under introduction here, if you're filling in the blanks. Example, lift a car off the ground. Two hands can't do that. B, however, many hands, all joining together, can do what one pair of hands cannot do. Then C, under introduction, perhaps you wonder how much good your faith promise offering does. Just one person. Just two hands. From this passage comes the answer. Now we have some major points here. Roman numeral 1. Even though Jesus is near a sinner is far from him. Under Roman numeral 1a, this sinner cannot get to Jesus. B, he is helpless. He is sick of the palsy. He is bedridden. He is helpless. C, will someone care enough to help? You see, missions is all about getting people to Jesus. See, and there are a lot of people in the world just like this man. They don't know how to get to Jesus. Somebody needs to go and help them. Somebody needs to send in order to help them. Now, Roman numeral 2. Missions is joining hands to help. A, this man had four friends who cared. Now, B, one could not carry him to Jesus. Two could not do it. Nor three. Four? Yes, that means he must have been a pretty big man. Takes four men to carry him. That's eight pair of hands. All joined together. Two pair of hands could not do it. Three pair, six hands could not do it. It took eight hands working together to get this man to Jesus. See. Now, these men, no doubt, might have had other things that were important to do. Maybe one of them had a business, had to close up his business to help get a man to Jesus. Maybe one of them was a married man who had a honey-do list from his wife. And he had to neglect that to get a man to Jesus. And maybe he'd have to cook his own breakfast the next morning. There could have been other things that these men needed to do. But they set aside all those things because to them, the most important thing was to join hands to get a man to Jesus. See? Now, when they see under Roman numeral 2, nothing would stop these men. They were on a mission. When they got there, they couldn't get the man in the house. It's already full. But that didn't stop them. They crawled on the roof of another man's house. Think about it. And started tearing the roof of the man's house off. And what would you do if somebody climbed on your roof and started doing that? See? Well, there was no objection on the part of the homeowner. You don't find any objection here. Now, they have a big hole in the roof now, sufficient to get the man down. But you see, they're all four, with their eight hands, on the roof. They've got to hand him down, which means that some people down below have to join hands and reach up and get him and bring him on down. So now you got eight men, 16 pair of hands, all joined together to get a man to Jesus. See, the Bible says God honored their faith, not the faith of the sick man. He didn't have any faith. It was the faith of the men who gave themselves and gave their effort and joined hands together to get a man to Jesus. That was the faith that God saw. God saw their faith. Jesus saw their combined faith. We're talking about a faith promise missions offering. Each person giving, combining their gift with somebody else's, so that 77 people are able to do what one man could not do. Because they join hands. He gives an offering for fish missions. She gives an offering and it's joined to his. And on and on and on it goes. Helping hands. Placing the money in an offering plate. To together do what you could never do by yourself. See? That's a kind of faith that Jesus will see and Jesus will honor. See? Faith promise offering is the faith of many combined. Your hands put an offering in. And the person next to you, their hands put an offering in. You write on that piece of paper how much. Another person is writing on a piece of paper how much. Another person is writing on a piece of paper how much. All those hands are joining together to do what one person could never do. See? So the conclusion is this. A sinner is both saved and healed because of some helping hands here. Because saints become partners in missions. That's how missions works. They gave their time and their effort. They set aside their own plans. They gave what belonged to them, their personal property, their personal time, their personal abilities. This was not their tithe. This was something personal. See. They gave what belonged to them, their personal property, their time, their efforts, their skills. Perhaps C, neglecting something of importance at home. That brought a man to Jesus. Helping hands. Hands joining together. So each faith promise offering, no matter how small you think it looks, is important. Because it's joined to others. To many hands, to many others, who together accomplish something that nobody basically would be able to accomplish alone. Now that is a faith promise offering. I've given you three lessons tonight to help you understand God's economic program, how His local church is financed, because His local church, folks, is headquarters for world missions. A mission board is not headquarters for world missions. The local church is headquarters for world missions. There are two things that come out of a local church that involve missions. Young men and women surrendering to be missionaries, leaving that church and going out into the world. And number two, the people who remain joining together their hands, giving the missions so that that person can go and be sustained on the mission field. See. Now, I don't want you to ask me questions that are not relative to what we have just said. Because I want you to understand from these three lessons what a faith promise offering is, what it does, and what bringing the tithe and offering does to the local church. If you have any questions about that or anything you don't understand about what I've said, I'll be glad to try to answer your questions. If I don't know the answer, I'm going to be honest with you and tell you I don't know the answer. I'm not going to make up something like some preachers I've heard do. Anybody have any question about any of the material that we have already covered tonight? Anyone? It's good when there's no questions. That means I put it over pretty plain. Pastor?
Can you tell us the story about your journey on the moon with Heidi?
The what?
On page 3, the journey on the mule in Haiti.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I didn't tell you that one, did I? I missed that one. Hey, that's a good one. I used to go to the island of Haiti, which is the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. The first time I went there, I went home to the church and they said, "Can you explain what Haiti is like? I said, "How many of you have ever seen a city dump?" I said, "If you've seen a city dump, you've seen what it looks like, Haiti. Horrible, diseased, filthy place. But yet we've gone there and we've preached the gospel for many, many years." One time I went there and we were going to plan an 8-day trip into the mountains to go to 8 different villages. Those 8 different villages could only be reached on a mule. There were no roads. So we drove as far as we could, and then we had the trailer with us with the mules in it. And so then we got the mules out and we started on our journey. Going to be 8 days on a mule in those mountains going to 8 different villages. The mule I was on hated me and I felt the same way about him. But we had to stick it out together. There wasn't any choice. I'm talking to you about what faith promise can do. It can take you places you've never been before. To talk to people about Jesus. I got on my mule and they said, "Now, preacher, before we start into this village, we want to tell you something. We want to tell you that they have never seen a white man before." I'm sitting on a mule, a white man with white hair, and have never been anything like that seen in a village like that. And they said more. They said, "Now, that's not all the story. The voodoo priest has told them that if a white man comes to your village, he will eat your babies. So I'm going into that village, and they're thinking I'm coming in there to eat their babies." So I said to a young man that we called a runner, he'd run in to the village and take messages. I said, "Go in and tell them that if they don't try to eat me, I won't try to eat any of them." And then we started toward the village. And I said, "By the way, what's the name of this village?" And they said, "It don't have a name." I have never been to a no-name village in my life up to that moment. But I went into that village, and because they were given that message that I wasn't going to eat their babies, they all wanted to see this white man. They wanted to run up to me and touch me and see if the white rubbed off. And they wanted to touch my gray hair. I couldn't hardly get rid of them. And we're going to have a meeting that night to show you what faith promise does. And all we had was what an old-fashioned brush harbor type structure. That's where they put some grass up above and some posts, and you go in there and you sit on the dirt and you have a meeting. And that night, everybody in the village, over 100 people, came to that meeting. And I had the privilege of preaching to them. And then I gave the invitation. And that night, when I invited them to come forward, 75 people came forward and got on their knees in the dirt and called on Jesus to save them. That was the first night. I went to 7 other villages because somebody gave faith promise offerings to send me there. Some churches gave the money to send me there. A total of 236 people were saved in those 8 villages. And we left a church in every village with a preacher to build that church. On that one trip, that's what faith, promise, missions offerings accomplished. You look at your little offering that you're going to give, that's what it can do. See, it's amazing what it can do. Okay, I'm sorry I missed that, but I'm glad you brought that up. Anybody have any question about the material? Because we want you to clearly understand, we're taking all of our material about this subject right out of the Bible. Not getting it from any other source. See? Okay, anybody else? If not, I'll see you tomorrow morning. All right?